Good morning, Nashville. It is Morning Drive. Ryan Porth, Calvin Smith here with you, in for Braden Gall and Derek Mason. They will be back tomorrow morning breaking down all things Titans, Texans, Preds, Pens.
Who's been more like Braden? Who's been more like Derek here this morning?
I think that is for Marquise Munson to decide. I would probably say Calvin has been a little bit more like Braden just because you're an analytical guy.
Well, yeah, and you also talk a lot, so yeah, there's Braden.
I'm a chatterbox. I've interrupted you a couple times too, Ryan, and I apologize for that. I am the Braden today for sure.
Okay. Does that mean I'm a former number one wide receiver in the National Football League?
That means you were an All-Pro.
All-Pro.
And should be a Hall of Famer?
You've received Hall of Fame votes then, Ryan. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You've earned it.
Thank you.
Is your range parked outside too?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Just make sure.
I've always said my dream car is a tricked out Honda Pilot. So
what does a tricked out Honda Pilot even mean or look like?
I don't even know. But Honda Pilots look cool, and if one was tricked out, that would be my dream car.
See, lifted 40-inch tires.
Yeah.
Oh wow. The
flames on the side.
I can imagine, like, this is what a single dad's car would be on Fast and Furious, of like a tricked out Honda Pilot.
Or Horrible Bosses.
It's got a V10 engine in there. It goes 0-60 in 3 seconds.
Sure.
But it can also take the kids to soccer practice.
Sure. Hey, Vin Diesel, can we finish this race quick? I got to pick up the kids at 4. Can we do this?
I would also take Derek's Range Rover. I would accept that if I couldn't get my tricked out Honda Pilot.
That, I mean, you're stepping down a little bit, but it's okay. In the ballpark.
Okay. So Derek and Braden tomorrow will be talking about the Titans and Texans, the Preds and Penguins. They'll also be talking about the college football playoff. And the college football playoff Saturday afternoon, coverage starting at 2:00 on 94.9 Game 2, your exclusive home of the college football playoff here in Music City. Also, the Game National app. You can listen to those games on the Game National app.
Tap that app.
LSU, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State. Two big games. LSU, I think, is the vast majority pick for that game. And I think you can flip a coin with Clemson and Ohio State. But the quarterbacks in this college football playoff are off the charts. You've got Joe Burrow in LSU. You've got Trevor Lawrence with Clemson. You've got Justin Fields with Ohio State. You've got Jalen Hurts with Oklahoma.
You know what's perfectly possible, and I would even go as far as to say likely?
What's that?
All four quarterbacks in this college football playoff will be first-round picks.
Really?
Trevor Lawrence, obviously the first pick next year.
For
Justin
sure.
Fields will be the second pick next year, likely.
Joe Burrow will be the first overall pick to Cincinnati this year.
Which one?
Or in 2020.
Three quarterbacks, probably in the top two picks, two of them being number one picks. Incredibly exciting. And then I think with the season Lamar Jackson's had, with how the NFL is evolving to fit these different schemes with quarterbacks who can do different things, Jalen Hurts could have a role in the NFL with a team.
I saw Mike Tannenbaum say that if he were the Ravens, he would draft Jalen Hurts and almost have a combo of Jackson and Hurts.
What's interesting is they run the ball different. And I trust Lamar Jackson as a thrower more than I do Jalen Hurts at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out, Lamar Jackson wasn't the most polished and fine-tuned quarterback. They have a track record now of being able to transition a quarterback into that role, unless Lamar Jackson is just that special and he's defying everything else.
Would that be the first time that the college football playoff would feature four future first-round picks? It has to, right?
At the quarterback position?
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama. Actually, Alabama's been in it, so Jalen Hurts would have been carrying them for that. There were Ohio State teams with JT Barrett, where JT Barrett was not a first mm-hmm. a first round pick.
There was the first ever college football playoff, and Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston.
Yes,
playing the same game in the Rose Bowl, but Cardale Jones, I believe it was Cardale Jones and Blake Sims, Ohio State, Alabama. So it would have to be the first time.
That sounds likely.
In college football playoff history, that it would have four first-round picks at quarterback
mm-hmm.
in the same playoff. I don't know about Jalen Hurts as a first-round pick in the NFL.
I'm not betting on it, but I wouldn't be surprised by it. And so certainly as an entertainment value from college football right now. I mean, yeah, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation right now. And for the college football playoff, this is the best scenario because you got all of the most tantalizing, fun-to-watch quarterbacks in this game. I mean, and Trevor Lawrence, like, he's somehow flying under the radar as the former number one overall recruit in the country who went to Clemson, the national champions, and is on track to be the first overall pick, but really isn't getting talked about like, whoa, it's Trevor Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
when you should be saying, whoa, it's Trevor Lawrence. What? This guy's going to be really good in the NFL.
I think this season, a lot of people have had that mentality with Clemson as a whole.
Yeah, that no, you're right.
If I'm being completely honest, I mean, they've obliterated everybody on their schedule outside of North Carolina.
Yeah.
Just completely obliterated them. And I kind of laugh when Dabo goes on a soapbox in the media, says, oh, we're not respected and everything. But I will say Clemson, and maybe it's because Clemson hasn't really been challenged outside of that North Carolina game, but they haven't really had that one game on the schedule. Like LSU-Alabama, everyone was talking about LSU-Alabama for a while going into that game. Like, that was the pinnacle of the college football season, Joe Burrow versus Tua and LSU versus Alabama. And with Ohio State, you always have marquee games in the Big Ten with Michigan and Penn State and that big one with Wisconsin back in October. Like, those are the other undefeated teams, and they're getting a lot of the attention because of the big games they're playing, where Clemson is just playing these ACC teams that aren't worth a lick.
Well, there's something to be said for point differential. I mean, when you're clubbing bad teams, that still means you're good because you're beating them by the margin you're supposed to, and then a little bit more in Clemson's case, which I think is very easy to understate, that if you're clobbering a lot of teams that are bad, like, no one's going to take you seriously, but that doesn't make you less good. It just means you haven't faced that challenge yet, which makes it harder for somebody to believe in you at some point. We'll see if they're able to actually be that good and rise to the challenge. And I mean, I think Clemson will handle Ohio State.
You think they will handle Ohio State?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to, like, they're going to, like, beat them down or anything, but I would put my money on Clemson to win that game.
Marquise Munson, the college football expert behind the glass. What do you think of Calvin Smith saying that Clemson will handle Ohio State?
I don't know. Handle is going to be the right word. Now, it all obviously is going to depend on Justin Fields' status. He's probably going to be 80-85%.
He said so himself this week.
Yeah, and he's going to be wearing a knee brace, and it's also going to take that Clemson defensive line and how they are going to be able to defend Dobbins, because even though Justin Fields is the guy that's going to probably beat you in that game, I think Dobbins is the guy. And this is why, especially in college, sometimes running backs are valuable, because J.K. Dobbins has been one of the best running backs in the country.
He's been unreal this year.
Unreal. So I think, and also with the way that Ohio State defense has played over the last couple weeks, I just don't know if Clemson. I don't know, because I think Ohio State is the more complete team with talent, with, you know, Dobbins and with Fields. I do think Trevor Lawrence has the, yeah, Chase Young. I do think, you know, Clemson has the better quarterback in the situation. I do think Ohio State has the better defense, and they also have the better running back, even though Travis Etienne is pretty good. So I would say it's an evenly matched game when you look at it on paper, because it's going to all depend on which quarterback is going to play the most consistent and which defense can get to the quarterback. Is it going to be Chase Young, or is it going to be a guy like Isaiah Simmons who's going to put pressure on Justin Fields?
So, how do we know, though, that Ohio State has the better defense than Clemson? I think Clemson has been widely unchallenged.
Untested
all season long, but their defense has been just suffocating teams.
I mean, let me just look at some. I compare and contrast the teams that each one of these guys played. And when I looked at the Penn State game and looked how Ohio State played defense in that game, and I look at how they played in the against Minnesota and all, you know, against Michigan. After Michigan, this is a Michigan offense. Now, quite frankly, they've been up and down all season. But ever since that Penn State game, that Michigan offense has been pretty good. Shea Patterson started to get his rhythm. And then all of a sudden they go against Ohio State, and Ohio State punches them in the mouth. And I just think with Chase Young and with that defense, with studs in the secondary, I just think that defense is quite better. Now, okay. But this is just, and I'm not saying that this Clemson defense is bad because they still have the talent there. Maybe they don't have the defensive line talent that they had last year, but with a guy, like I said, with Simmons on that team who's kind of, I wouldn't say he's up there with Chase Young, but he's definitely a talent in the linebackers. I think that this team's both evenly matched. I just think it's going to dictate on which quarterback plays better and which running back I think can get going more. And I'll kind of give the slight edge to Ohio State. I don't think it's going to be a beatdown where Clemson's just going to go in and, you know, obviously they got a lot to prove because everybody thinks that they don't want them in the playoffs. Like Dabo keeps saying that every single week, but even though they're in the playoffs every year, but that's beside the point. But, you know, they have this chip on their shoulder. Obviously, Ohio State has an injured quarterback. I just think this game is going to be a lot closer than what people think. I think the only blowout game we'll probably see is LSU and Oklahoma. That's going to be the game that we could see 17 points in LSU's favor. Other than that, I don't see a blowout with Ohio State and Clemson.
If we're betting on which quarterback's going to play better, my money's on Trevor Lawrence. And also, I think Oklahoma is going to be able to hang. Like they're going to Lincoln Riley's going to have something schemed up to where they're going to be able to go put up
points. I would say if my money just based off the defense that Joe Burrow is playing against, I would say my edge is on Joe Burrow having the better game. Now, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is going to have the better game amongst the four because he has the tougher challenge on the defensive side. So I think that Joe Burrow will have the best game because this Oklahoma defense is not. They're better than last year. I will give them credit for that, but they're still not good. And Jalen Hurts still makes mistakes throwing the football. He gives teams good field position because he turns the football over. And that's been his problem all season long. So I think Joe Burrow has the edge in that category, but I do think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big game for them to get past Ohio State.
Coming up next, which quarterback of these four would we hand pick if we had to only pick one? We'll get to that next. Plus, we'll ask an intriguing question with the Nashville Predators as they prepare for next week's Winter Classic. That's all coming up next on Morning Drive. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith in for Brayden Gall and Derek Mason here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Morning Drive. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith here with you in for Brayden and Derek talking college football playoff. Of the four quarterbacks in the college football playoff Saturday, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Of those four, which one would you handpick to go win a national title?
This season.
Sure.
Only for this college football playoff.
Sure.
Joe Burrow.
Over Trevor Lawrence?
Over Trevor Lawrence.
Why?
That's why I wanted to specify this year, only in college football.
Why?
Because Joe Burrow has been the most dynamic player in college football this year. And in that scheme with Joe Brady, if you can do those similar things, he's going to be the number one overall pick because of what he's done this year. I don't see a reason you could pick against him, honestly. Because he's been hands down better than everybody else, and that was evidenced by his record percentage of Heisman votes.
But will we see the Heisman jinx or the Heisman curse come into play for Joe Burrow? If I had to pick one team, I would take LSU. And I think, honestly, a big part of it is that they will likely beat Oklahoma.
Yes.
And then they'll be playing a home game. I mean, the national championship is in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to bet against LSU in the Bayou. And that place would be mostly purple, even in a, quote,
well, maybe
neutral
not,
site.
Because those tickets go for a premium price. And a lot of LSU fans will pony up and pay for the tickets.
100%.
But those national title games usually get bought up by people with more money who aren't the same kind of diehard fans that normally buy the tickets in a lot of other scenarios. And students aren't going to be buying those tickets.
But LSU hasn't been there in a long time. That fan base is ecstatic over Orgeron, over Joe Burrow. It's their first time in the college football playoff. Like, they are going to come out in droves in New Orleans for that game.
For the tailgate, Clemson, yes.
Well, for sure, especially on Bourbon Street. For Clemson, for their fans, they have been there, they've done that. For Ohio State, you can kind of say the same thing. if it's LSU versus either Clemson or Ohio State, I would say it is at least 75% purple. I mean, at least. Maybe even 80, 85.
I will bet that it's mostly LSU fans there, but what I'm not convinced on is the environment being overwhelmingly like Death Valley or anything like that.
Maybe not Death Valley, but it would feel like
it'll
an
tilt
LSU,
LSU
home game.
It'll tilt LSU for sure.
You know what could happen? They could have the Saints home playoff game and LSU in the national championship in back-to-back days.
Shout out to the crew who works on that field, because that's no easy feat to accomplish. That's a lot of hard work.
Who
for
have
them.
To deal with all those fans, the
event staff,
stadium workers. So that would be interesting. I would take Trevor Lawrence.
Really?
I would take Trevor Lawrence because I do think you were onto something in terms of there's a little bit of a disrespect card, not only for Clemson as a whole, but Trevor Lawrence as well, mm-hmm. that he has vastly flown under the radar. And I know you look at, if you just look at his game log, he has thrown 8 interceptions in his last 7 games. But chips down, on the table for a national championship, I'm taking Trevor Lawrence over any of those other three.
We've seen the upside that he has.
We've seen him do it. That's the other thing.
Did it last year pretty well in the biggest stage.
We've seen him do it. We've also seen Jalen Hurts do it.
Yeah.
With Alabama.
Absolutely.
And get to the title game. But I just don't think Oklahoma's defense is going to slow down LSU.
If Joe Burrow is going to have the Heisman jinx, it won't come against Oklahoma because defense isn't their thing. They play in the Big 12.
I think it would come in the championship game. I don't believe in jinxes, but
people
will bring up the Heisman curse. They
knock
do
on
it
wood
every,
for him.
They do it every time with Heisman Trophy winners.
Well, I mean, just because kind of like with the Roman Yossi contract, you look at that and that kind of puts a focus on you, a spotlight on you, and then as soon as you mess up, like, we make these decisions in a vacuum that mm-hmm. aren't really rational.
True. So, College Football Playoff, the home of the College Football Playoff, is ESPN 94.9 Game 2, Saturday starting at 2 o'clock, LSU-Oklahoma, followed by Clemson versus Ohio State. Hal Gill is coming up at the bottom of the hour at 9:30 for his weekly visit here on Morning Drive. And the Nashville Predators, they face Pittsburgh tomorrow night at home. Then they visit the Pittsburgh Penguins Saturday night, a nice little home-and-home with the Penguins, the team that you played in the Stanley Cup Final. And I know a lot of fans still are annoyed by the Pittsburgh Penguins. So should be a fun home-and-home this coming weekend. And then it is the Winter Classic on New Year's Day next Wednesday. We will have live coverage New Year's Eve from 2 to 8 p.m. And then a lot of the day Wednesday leading up to and after network coverage. So should be a lot of fun. You will be there. I will be there. Chase, Darren, and Gina from Promotions will be there, and Willie, so we will have a full team there. And in that game, Calvin, if you're a Pierre LaViolette, are you starting Pekka-Rinne or UC Saros?
It has to be Pekka-Rinne, right?
Why? I
mean, to me, there's absolutely like not even a question about it, because you're talking about the guy who is essentially the face of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy who you've ridden the back of for so long, and honestly, like, Pekka-Rinne would have to be seriously injured for me to not play him in this scenario. I mean, this is the guy for everything they've done for the last few years. Like, I don't care if he has a 6 goals against average and he's 50 years old. If he's still on the roster, for what Pekka-Rinne has meant to this franchise, to this team, to teams past, he would be my goalie going forward.
Okay.
For that game.
I think he 100% will start the Winter Classic. I think you can make a case for UC Saros starting in that game if you are looking at that game in a vacuum and not factoring in the fact that it's the Winter Classic, it's the first outdoor game. I mean, Pekka got lit up by the Stars last time he faced them. UC Saros, since really the beginning to middle of November, has been the better goaltender, the more consistent goaltender than Pekka-Rinne. And this is a big game in the standings. Huge spectacle aside, it is a big game in the standings when you look at the Preds and the Stars, both battling for playoff position. I think you could make a case for UC Saros, but I do agree with you that Pekka-Rinne should and will be the guy.
You know, I mean, you're talking about hockey is obviously a game, an entertainment thing. I think it is a mistake from that aspect to not play Pekka-Rinne. And I don't I would. What percent chance would you give Saros of even starting in this game?
5 or 10.
I would even honestly say lower, because I don't think, like, a Preds fan, you're going to Dallas. You're obviously going to see the Cotton Bowl and all the stuff, and it's the biggest game in hockey so far this season and everything. But you're kind of going to go see Pekka Rinne, right? I mean, not over UC Saros. Like, there's all this around it, but it's like that would be like not playing Roman Josi or something to me.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, they've essentially been alternating games when you look at the last
From that game aspect of it, yes. But in terms of looking at this from, like, you walk out on the street, infinitely more people are going to know Pekka Rinne over UC Saros.
Mm-hmm.
You turn it on NBC, like, people will hear Pekka Rinne and say, oh, Pekka Rinne's playing UC Saros. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying, and I mostly agree with you. I do think there is a case to be made that if you want the 2 points, UC Saros is the better play than Pekka Rinne.
Do you think I wonder how much that's factoring into what Laviolette's thinking and how much he's focused on that instead of the spectacle of it. Because, I mean, that's something you have to balance as a coach, and they all come out and say every day is the same, every game is the same, and 1 out of 82 always is the same number.
I mean, look, Barry Trotz came on the road to Dallas and said some of the tougher conversations he's ever had as a coach were with the players that he was scratching for the Winter Classic, because you have family and it is kind of that once in a lifetime type moment for players, especially on teams that don't play in an outdoor game every 2 or 3 years, like the Penguins or the Blackhawks or the Flyers.
Yeah.
So that would be a really tough conversation for Peter Laviolette to have with Pekka Rinne, who has been your number one starter for the last decade.
I couldn't imagine having that conversation with Pekka Rinne.
Me neither. I mean, that at the end of the day, I think we both agree it will be 35 between the pipes. I do think the argument is there for people to have that UC would be the better play if you want the 2 points. That's all I'm trying to say.
From the game aspect, yes, I totally see what you're saying, but I think everybody knows it's more than that right now.
Coming up next, Preds radio analyst Hal Gill will join us for his weekly visit here on Morning Drive. We'll talk Preds Pens and everything going on with this team as they have won 4 of their last 5 games. That's coming up next. Hal Gill on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It is Morning Drive. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith in for Brayden Gall and Derek Mason this morning. They will be back tomorrow morning. Joining us every Thursday here on the show at 9:30 a.m., it is Preds radio analyst Hal Gill. Hal, hope you had a Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year coming up.
Yeah, it was a great Christmas. What beautiful weather we had, and I'm excited for the new year coming up. It's going to be a good one.
How many times, Hal, have you been able to wear shorts outside on Christmas?
Unreal. I was just laughing about it because coming from Boston, you don't see that very often. So I made my family a little jealous back home when I was talking to them on FaceTime. And I was sitting there with my shirt off playing street hockey with my son.
Well, I know you spend a lot of seasons in cold weather cities, whether it be Boston, Toronto, Montreal, Pittsburgh. Not many winters or Christmases, I should say, with 70-degree weather in those cities. So
I'm here for that. I'm here for that.
Preds fans have also been here for Roman Josi here in the last 5 games. 7 goals in the last 5 games. Preds have won 4 of 5 in that stretch. What would be the one word that you would use to describe Roman Josi right now?
I don't know if there's a word. What he's doing, it is alien-like. It's not what normal people do to the NHL, and I've seen it the whole time now. He's, you know, the whole season, he's really been pushing the pace. But now where he's getting the scoring, you know, you could say, he can skate all over the place. But if he's not getting the goals, then maybe it's not that big a deal. But now that he's getting the goals and skating all over the place and dominating defensively, it's something like I've never seen. And what's amazing is you look at John Carlson's numbers for the Norris in Washington, and he's up by 50 points, and you say, okay, you know, there's no way Josi can catch that. Now you're looking at Josi going on a heater, and you're going, okay, maybe he can catch him, and I think he's a better I think he's a better player. So I think he's a better defenseman. I think Carlson's been on the benefit of having all these points on the power play from his teammates, playing with Ovechkin and a lot of great players over there that have been scoring. And Yossi's been pushing the offense all by himself, and now he's starting to get the production. So this will be fun down the stretch. That's what I'm excited about. One word to explain. Yeah, good luck. It's not something I've seen before.
Maybe one word that many people in Nashville would use to describe him would be hot.
So hot right now.
Yeah, he's yeah, really hot right now.
Good-looking guy. His hair was on point in the interview before the game. It's like, you know, it's crazy. And he's the leader. He's the captain of the team. He's really taken this team under his wings. And, man, has he been good.
What does it do for a locker room when the captain does put the team on his back like he has here in the last 10 days?
Well, when you're struggling, it's hard. And the Preds went through a spell where nothing was going right. And I know you can say, oh, they played poorly. They didn't do things well. Well, they did do some things right, and it still wasn't going right. So it gets frustrating. And when you see your captain go out and skate through a team or battle and give a cross check or do whatever, you know, Roman Yossi does, he steps up and he gets a big goal when they need it at times. And he'll make a big shift and buzz in the offensive zone, which gets him going. That kind of gives the team a lift. Never mind what he says on the bench or what he says in the locker room. It's more about how he elevates his game when they need it. And I think when they need something, he goes out and gets it done. And that's huge for a team.
Hey, Al, Calvin here. With Roman Yossi and getting a contract like what he got, how do you deal with kind of everything that gets put on you at that point? Being a captain and making that much money, do your teammates look at you different? And how do you deal with that?
I'd love to give you a better answer. If you could just give me a contract like that, then I'll give you a better answer. I don't know what it's like to be that, but I can tell you, being in a locker room where a guy gets rewarded for doing all the right things, and obviously the skill is there, you know, and guys can't compare to that, but what they can see is the work ethic that he puts in, how much he gives to the team, how much he gives to the community, and what he does. You know, Roman does a lot with best buddies and is like a great guy all the way around. I think that says a lot to a team. And so when the guy gets rewarded, gets a big contract, and still comes to compete, you know, it's one thing you say, hey, I got my $6 million, and maybe I don't need to compete as hard. And then Roman comes in with his $9 million and competes even harder. That says something to the rest of the team. And I think a lot of guys listen to that. A lot of guys pick up on it.
Hal Gill brought to you every Thursday by Puckett's here on Morning Drive ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal, Roman Yossi aside, this team has now won 4 of their last 5 games after that disappointing outing on Saturday, December 14th, against the Dallas Stars. What has been different about this team in the last 5 games through your lens?
It's a tough one to pinpoint because I feel like some of it is just getting a couple breaks and then getting the confidence from it. But I really think it started with that road trip. And that road trip, you went out, the Preds went out in New York and played a hard-nosed game and battled. And then in New York and Long Island, they went out and battled, and it looked like it was going to slip. It looked like it wasn't going to be their day, and they were down. But then players started making plays, and you could see the effort was there, and then the confidence came with it. And so the combination of that effort with confidence, guys just sniping, that was 8 goals in that one game. I really feel like that was a huge turning point where they got some, you know, not just one or two guys with confidence, not Bonino and Yarncroke with confidence, but the whole team. And then you looked at it, and it almost slipped in Ottawa. The second period was really a bad period for them. But they picked it back up and found a way to get a point on the road in Ottawa in the third period. And then they just started to play after that. And I feel like now they got a pulse on when they're slipping and they can pick it back up. And I think that's everything. And that comes with confidence and that comes with the effort. But it really is more of that awareness that we've seen over the last few years where this team knows when they're down and they need to get going.
How important is it to keep that foot on the gas, because we all know it can be just as easy to lose 4 or 5 in today's NHL as it is to win 4 or 5.
I know. That's why the break, the break is one of the, it's a difficult thing to handle, because I tell you what, 3 days away from the rink is all you're dreaming of, and it's like complete shutdown. These guys don't want to think about hockey. They want to spend time with their families, relax, get some sleep, get some rest. But you don't want to walk away from a heater. You don't want to walk away from, you know, Roman Josi is the last person that wants to take time off when everything he shoots goes in the net. So you come back and you kind of rely on all that hard work. You rely on that confidence and you get back to work. But it's going to be tough, especially because you're coming back to a back-to-back with Pittsburgh. There's some emotion there. It's going to be exhausting against these guys. But this break is huge for me, for the mentality, just to get away from the rink and re-energize yourself. But you want to come back with that same energy, because they were playing with it. I mean, that last game before the break against Arizona, I thought that was just solid. They kind of grinded through everything, did everything the right way.
Hal Gill, brought to you by Puckett's every Thursday. Hal, a familiar opponent that I know you are familiar with, the Pittsburgh Penguins, as you used to play for the Penguins, should be a lot of fun. Friday in Nashville, Saturday in Pittsburgh. Thanks as always, Hal, and we will be listening tomorrow night when the Preds host the Penguins.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
You too, Hal. Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, here with us on Morning Drive. And I think that the point that he made about Roman Josi in the locker room, when you see your $9 million defenseman, your $9 million captain walk into that locker room, go out on the ice and play like he's performing right now, that's tough not to follow.
Spreads throughout the locker room for sure to people who are aspiring for contracts like that, because certainly that's part of your motivation.
100%. Coming up next, we'll have the big finish, plus we will give away the 4-pack of movie passes for the worst Christmas gift, and we have a handful of good options. Join 102.5 The Game at our official Winter Classic watch party at Tin Roof on Broadway Wednesday, January 1st, as the Preds take on the Dallas Stars in the Winter Classic. Enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game, plus other great prizes. That is on New Year's Day at Tin Roof on Broadway, 102.5 The Game's official Winter Classic party. We will come back and wrap up Morning Drive coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's right. This is the big finish. We will get to the Daily Rewind coming up here in a minute or two. But Jared and the GM has your ticket to a classy alternative black and gold masquerade party at Woolworth on 5th. This New Year's Eve, your tickets include live music, first two drinks, and food all night long. Listen in later today during Ask the GM on Jared and the GM for your chance to win. More information at WoolworthOnFifth.com. Calvin, we have been taking texts all morning long for the worst Christmas gift. And the winner of the worst Christmas gift will win a 4-pack of movie passes to the Malco Theater in Smyrna. Now, we have a handful of good options here. We have someone texting in saying they received socks with a bank, with their favorite bank on them.
I kind of like that, though. Like, that could be a bit of a statement.
As a numbers guy, like, I can see you liking
like having
that.
The brand of a bank on your socks, that's kind of like a baller move. Like, yeah, this is where I bank, and there's a good bit of money in there.
There you go. And in the spirit of how we started the whole thing with socks.
My Bob Ross Christmas tree socks, yes.
Yes, and my Tennessee State flag y'all socks.
Socks are the perfect accent to a good outfit. Underrated.
I'm starting to buy that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting to buy that. But we were wearing socks that we received for Christmas. So that is one entry. Socks with their favorite bank on them. Another entry was Magic Poo. That is like a stocking stuffer kind of gag gift.
I mean, that's weird. It's funny.
It's weird. I don't know how funny it is if you're the one receiving the Magic Poo. So Magic Poo was another entry. One person texted in a picture of them with the largest roll of toilet paper that I have ever seen.
You just turned the iPad around and said, look at this one. And it was just this huge roll of toilet paper on the ground. It came up to the guy's knees.
But here's what I will say is that guy's taken care of for a long time, hopefully.
Someone really saved him money.
Yes. I mean, that could have had a lot of thought to it.
Granted, I'm not here for cheap toilet paper, though. So,
the one that we have agreed that we're going to go with is...
This is a serious gift.
Serious gift. This is not a gag gift, and I had to clarify this before awarding Keith as the winner. Keith texted in and said his worst gift was a pack of light bulbs.
LED, incandescent?
He said...
What kind of kilowatts are we talking here?
He said this was a totally legit gift. Thought they were getting me the colored Philips Hue lights, but it was just plain old white bulbs.
That's a grocery.
And that is a legit gift. We are going with the pack of light bulbs.
Congratulations on your light bulbs and movie tickets.
Keith, you can go enjoy a 4-pack of movie passes at the Malco Theater in Smyrna on us for receiving a pack of light bulbs for Christmas.
Hopefully we can make your season a little bit better.
Or brighter.
There we go, Ryan.
You like that?
You're still in the game, full
force.
You
like that? It's time for the Daily Rewind here on The Big Finish. Good morning, Nashville. This is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth alongside Calvin Smith here with you on this Thursday morning.
Had a good Christmas. You know, I'm wearing my Bob Ross socks that I got for Christmas from my mom. So we're starting the morning off right, Ryan.
Bob Ross socks is as good of a Christmas gift as I can think of.
As Jordan Reed of the Draft Network said on Twitter, getting socks for Christmas is like drafting an offensive lineman in the NFL. You know, you're not really excited about it. It doesn't get you up in the morning. But if they do your job, you're happy with them for years to come.
Joined now by the resident GM, Floyd Reese.
I think Derek has a home here. I think he realizes that he is more valuable to us, I think, than he would be to a lot of other teams simply because of, you know, his two down effectiveness, but, you know, not that third down kind of back that you're always looking for. So, I mean, he's gonna be important to us. And I think, you know, hopefully his agents will be talking along the lines of, hey, now we've got a home here and we can be here for a while, so let's be smart about what, you know, there's no need you moving halfway across the country, you know, for an extra $500,000 a year when you'll more than make up for that in the state of Tennessee.
I'm of the belief that Derrick Henry is a really vital part of this team. That Derrick Henry, over these, really since the start of last December, has arguably been one of the top two most important players on offense for this team, outside of what Ryan Tannehill has done at quarterback. Would you agree with that in terms of what Derrick Henry's value has been since the start of last December?
Did Derrick Henry do anything close to what he's done without Ryan Tannehill? Derrick Henry, and running the football in general, is very dependent on the passing game that's around them.
So if you're John Robinson, are you re-signing both Tannehill and Henry?
Absolutely not. And I hate coming on the radio and saying there's no scenario where I pay Derrick Henry. Because I like Derrick Henry. Like, I think he's good. I like his mantra. I love to see him make fantastic runs and break tackles. It's fun to watch. But when you talk about the value or the future longevity of the running back position, which we all know in the NFL is very, very injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learn more about the value of running backs and replacement level of running backs, it's hard to make a case for paying running backs.
Joe Rexrode of The Athletic.
Look, I never bought that like they were in huge trouble. I mean, I just, you know, you watch enough of these 82-game seasons, and it's just like, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. Look, all of a sudden, they're right back in it. It basically takes like a couple good weeks, and now you're right back in it. Now, you can't afford too many more of these dips where you are, but look, this is a playoff team. You've got to get better goaltending, you know, long term, but I still think that they will. You know, and I think from both guys. And so, look, I think they're fine. Do I think this, you know, red hot team right now is who they are? You know, I don't know. I mean, I still think there are a lot of guys who have to elevate their game. But when it's all said and done, I think we're going to be talking about this team in the postseason. I've never not thought that.
Reds radio analyst Hal Gill. Hal?
What he's doing, it is alien-like. It's not what normal people do to the NHL. And I've seen it the whole time now. He's, you know, the whole season, he's really been pushing the pace. But now where he's getting the scoring, you know, you could say, he can skate all over the place. But if he's not getting the goals, then maybe it's not that big a deal. But now that he's getting the goals and skating all over the place and dominating defensively, it's something like I've never seen. And what's amazing is you look at John Carlson's numbers for the Norris in Washington, and he's up by 50 points, and you say, okay, you know, there's no way Yossi can catch that. Now you're looking at Yossi going on a heater, and you're going, okay, maybe he can catch him, and I think he's a better player.
Remember, the Titans and Sandlot are one and two best sports movies of all time, and you've never seen.
What about Miracle?
Miracle, best sports movie. Miracle and Moneyball tied at number one best movies of all time.
Well, that's because you've seen those. But if you look at any list, Remember, the Titans and Sandlot are going to be top five.
Moneyball was great. Moneyball is still great, and it changed an entire landscape of young sports.
Analytics guy over here with Moneyball.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course he's going to like Moneyball.
One of the members of the Sandlot went to the Dodgers. That's why.
If Sandlot was about analytics, he would have seen it.
Oh, yeah, I actually would have, yeah.
But since it's about a lot of kids playing on the Sandlot when they were 8, 9, 10 years old, you haven't seen it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is official. Calvin Smith does not support U Sports now. He does not watch Sandlot. He does not support U Sports.
Not here for your Play 60 initiatives.
That was the daily rewind of today's show. Ryan Porth and Calvin Smith here in the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. One quick tweet that I want to get to. We debated a lot earlier in the show about Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, Logan Ryan, Jack Conklin, and who would we prioritize. Slappy on Twitter says he thinks Ryan Tannehill is this season's version of Case Keenum in 2017 with the Vikings.
I think that might be scary close to accurate. Ryan Tannehill's floor may be a little higher.
I hope it's inaccurate. Coming up next, it is Darren, Donick, and Chase with Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.